Welcome to Books, Beauty, and Business. Our goal is to motivate and inspire others to push limits, test boundaries, and climb personal ladders of success. My name is Tawny Bro. I am your host, and I'm super excited to introduce you to Deidre Kisling. She is the founder of the Dream Academy and host of the Success Minded Woman podcast. After nearly 30 years in corporate and quitting five times to follow her dream, she finally stopped second-guessing herself and is building a life and business she loves. She now helps other women do the same. So she has two signature programs, the GPS for Success and 90 Days to Done, where Deidre teaches her proven success formula, decide, commit, plan, massive action. She's all about mindset, habits, planning, and helping women get unstuck and into momentum. Whether she's coaching, speaking, or leading workshops, her mission is clear: help women stop waiting, start dreaming again, and take real action to create the life they know they're meant for. So her favorite quote says it best: inspiration without action is merely entertainment, by Mary Morsy. Welcome, Deidre Kisling.
Thank you so much, Deidre Kisling, for joining us today. I'm so happy to see your face, first of all. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me. I have loved, ever since we first met at the YGC Collective last year, and we just connected like over coffee in the morning, and I've just loved getting to know you over this last year.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And you have been a guest speaker at several events. You always share such great information for our women business owners. So let's just kind of jump right in. So tell me a little bit about your story. Like, what brought you here to this point? And I know that's such a loaded question, but just give us a little background.
Well, after 30 years in corporate America of, you know, climbing the corporate ladder, I felt like getting more certifications and more degrees. So I went back to school after I got my bachelor's in psychology. Then I went and got an MBA. Then I got a master's in information systems. And I just thinking I needed to just accumulate all this credentials and experience and expertise to climb the corporate ladder, and realized it wasn't really what I wanted to do. So I had this longing for something more. And that's kind of what led me on this journey of becoming a coach and a speaker. It was something that had been with me, I think, since a teenager, but there really wasn't like a career path back then for doing this sort of thing. So at a certain point in time, I just thought, now, you know, now's the time. My mom died. And when we, that first Christmas, without her, thank you, it was a real wake-up call for me. I was sitting, talking with my dad, you know, we were reminiscing at the dining room table, and I looked up and I saw the light on the Christmas tree, and something about just that moment, I just thought, what am I doing with my life? You know, we've heard this saying, like, this is not a dress rehearsal. And I was tired. I was stressed from my corporate gigs. I was, at that point, I'd sort of started my own consulting business, but it wasn't satisfying. And in that moment, I just made a decision. And that was Christmas Eve, 2019. I made a decision. I said, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to follow my dreams. And later that night, I started Googling names for this business that I was going to create that I had no idea, no idea what this business was. And I started Googling names, and I found the Dream Academy, and I bought the URL, and it was, the Dream Academy was born on Christmas Eve.
That's such a great story. I think, wow, so much to unpack. I just want to like process this for a second, because I think so many people find themselves in life, they've done the things, right? They're like, I need to get this job, I need to have these credentials, I need this title, building up their own identity based on all of the things that they think, right, that is going to make them happy and that they want. And then you just have that moment, like, I think I was made for something more. Like, I think something bigger out there for me. And the fact that that is such a moment for you, that you remember it so clearly, those are those, not trauma events, but those are those like, boom, like big events that like your brain, like it's seared in your brain because it was so impactful for you that you were then able to like, and that's when you're making decisions, girl. You're like, bought the URL, got the thing, do the thing, bada bing, bada boom.
That's and I would love to say that everything just took off from there.
Yep. all peaches and cream, right?
And my Zoom has been getting blurry all of a sudden, so I apologize if it's blurry. I don't know what's happening. But it's still been an up and, it's definitely been a journey. And one of the things that I've really realized in this ebb and flow of entrepreneurship and self-discovery, which I think is part of entrepreneurship, I think it's one of the hardest personal development criteria we could ever have is being a business owner. But like you said, about moving from the external validation of and achievements for self-worth to having it come from the inside. And I think that's the real journey of when you're up close, right there, and it's just you and you, starting this business, what are you going to do? And everything comes up that you're leaving behind and that you're going forward. And that's been the real surprise and obstacles. And now, sort of coming out of the other side of that, just realizing the work, the personal work that's required to be an
Yes.
entrepreneur.
It's brave. I mean, it is pure courage, right? That sends you out from a somewhat stable job or a something that you can rely on to putting yourself out there in your own business. It is very courageous to make a change. It's courageous to make any kind of a change, whether you're moving from one job to another, from one place to another, changing your identity in any way is such a, it can be so scary, but I think there's something inside you that drives you that's like you don't want to have the regrets later. And also kind of you don't want to have, like you said, this is what did you just say about this is not dress rehearsal? Is that what you said? Yes, you get one chance at this. Oh,
Yeah.
that's so
And
inspiring.
I think the regret, I think that sometimes you can just have that pull you when everything feels so hard and you want to quit. And I'm going to start crying because that happens all the time to me and my clients. But it's that pull of reminding yourself, do you want to be pulled from that vision, even though it's hard, or do you want to live with the regret of not going for it? And what I've really come to know, like deep in my bones, that the regret of not going for something is that slow death of your soul. And so you can, when you show up and you go for it, even if it doesn't turn out the way you expected or that you dreamed of, because the real journey is the journey to yourself of who you're becoming in the process of going after the dream. And so I really believe that about regret, that can be, it can be a driver of not wanting to have that regret or knowing that you will have that regret if you don't go for it.
Yes.
Even if it doesn't work, even if you fail, even if you try and try and try and it just never comes together the way you imagined, you've given it your all and you've gone for it. And that's really all we can ever do. But we hold back. We hold back. I was just talking to someone about this, that I call it the runway of hope. Like there's this runway of hope when you're like have a new idea and you have a new vision and you're getting all excited about it and it's really far away. And so you're all in this like excitement energy and you just have this like field of hope and possibility in front of you. And as long as you keep it all in front of you and stay in the sparkly visioning, like you're not risking anything. But you get kind of a hit of dopamine of visioning and imagining. But once you start down the runway of that hope, the hope starts to go away the more you try. And then I just had this realization the other day. It's like you get to the point where your runway of hope is very short. And that's like, are you really going to do this thing? And so I really started thinking about that. Hope can actually be a limitation at a certain point. I think for me, that's the lesson that's coming out is like hanging on to the hope versus really going for it.
Yes. And they say that is why your why has to be bigger than your passion. Because that's that runway of hope, that passion that you have for it. If you don't have a really strong why behind it, it is really easy to throw that towel in. Oh,
Yes, yes.
the second obstacle, the third obstacle. Sometimes you're getting hit left and right, and you're just like, when is this gonna stop? And when am I gonna see the fruits of my labor, or the forward motion, or the light at the end of the tunnel? But when you have that really strong why behind you, that is, I think, what can continue that, what you just mentioned, that runway of hope. It keeps you
Yes.
moving. Well,
Yes, and that's why I think that the why, it's your purpose, your calling. For me, I think it's a thing that you would do whether you're paid or not. Like it's just something in your soul that's calling you. And I like that, that's really the fuel is the purpose, because the passion will only get you so far, the enthusiasm, the excitement, the energy. You know, all of that's only going to get you so far because, you know, when you're in the grind and it's just you and you going that extra hour, you know, sending those last few emails, like no one's watching you and no one's making you do
Yes.
it.
I'm always like, I'm my own best employee or worst employee, right? There's so much into what you're talking about. And even like, that's one of the questions. Like, if money wasn't, you hear this all the time in all the, survey, if money wasn't an object, what would you do with your life? And people are like, well, that is so far-fetched because I need money to live my life, right? But if you have the ability to really think about that, like where that passion is, I mean, I feel like that's the ultimate success if you're able to bring to light something you're so passionate about into a service that can sustain, your life. That's like such a sweet spot. And it's so hard for people that aren't there yet or that are still dreaming, right? The Dream Academy, they're still dreaming of this. It's such a faraway dream for them. So just like, how would you help someone? Like, you found this love for helping people through your Dream Academy. So talk to me a little bit about like how you would help them, or how you found this love for your Dream Academy.
Well, what I discovered after I started the Dream Academy and I was, you know, figuring it out, what it actually was, what it was I really actually doing. I knew I just wanted to help women build their dreams. I didn't know exactly how I was going to be doing that. And over these five years, what I've really realized and am able to articulate what I do is that there's two pieces to dream building. There's the dream, the visioning. You know, you need clarity, you need specificity, you need to build it in your mind with as much detail, and I call it five sensorizing, so that you can really put yourself in a scene where it all worked out. So that's the piece, that's one piece. But then there's the action, there's the actual building, there's a skill set, there's action, there's discipline, and you need both. And so that where I feel like I'm an expert in helping you figure out your dream, what you really would love, and making a plan and getting into action and learning from the action. So that's where, as a consultant in corporate America, I was an implementation consultant and a project manager. So, you know, it was all about the action and progress and tracking. And so what I realized is that we needed both of those. You know, we need the I like to think of it as the visioning is the art. You know, there's an art and then there's a science. There's a skill and a science of how you build anything, how you build a business, you know, the skills you need, the team you need, the processes and systems that you need. And so for me, putting those together was really what was missing. And that's what I help my clients do. And I'm actually getting ready to launch a new program. You'll appreciate this as a data person. I've been going through every client that I've had, every group that I've had, every survey and evaluation that I've done, and doing a data analysis on what were the like problems that they had or wishes and dreams that they had coming in, what did they discover, and what did they leave with, and why were some women able to really blossom and go for it? And other women were just kind of stalled. And so I've really been, as a scientist, going in and really wanting to figure out where the block is. And that's really where I'm really going in and focusing and developing my expertise in that area of really looking at the actions and the assessments, mining for the lessons, mining from the failure gold that happens, on the way. So, because I think it can be little tweaks that we could just do this instead of this, but it's like, this didn't work and I'm going to give up. I'm a failure and it's never going to work. Or maybe you just need to, put a different headline in your email or, go to a different marketing event, So it's like instead of catastrophizing and being very dramatic with everything, it's like, let's look at the data, let's take it step by step and make some hypothesis about what we think it's going to take to get there. And so I think that's really the taking the dreaming and the building together, I think is what's creating success and where a lot of people fail. If you're all into action without the vision, you build something that you're not in love with. Or if you're all visioning but not a lot of action, then you're just sitting in this possibility that's going to turn into regret if you don't do anything.
Yes. Well, that's exciting because if you can find out what that key is that, makes one person go right and one person go left, right? And then the success is the end goal there. That's pretty fascinating work.
Yes, I'm doing all the data analysis right now. So I have a hypothesis that I'm working through, and I'm excited to see what all the data says.
Yes. Yes. I think there's something about being an educator, something about being a leader or a teacher in that way that we're always we're kind of fixers, right? We're always trying to like look at the problem, look at the big picture. Let's figure out how we can fix this. And I think that when you're in that flow, there are so many variables. You're right that like, hey, maybe if we turn this lever or turn this a little differently, you'll stay there longer, you'll see the success better. I think that's a great topic. And I think that as we see more and more people venture out too, right, on their own, they need this kind of direction. They need a little bit of kick in the pants. They need maybe somebody to say, this little hope runway needs some action behind it. But then people are like, okay, what do I do? They have an idea and then they're like, what do I do? Where do I start? So this is a great opportunity for somebody to really jump in and get guidance along the way. So that's amazing. That's
Yes, and I think I just look back and what were all the things that I wish I had when I started this, and looking back at my clients and what would have helped them accelerate their progress. And so yes, it's after 5 years, I have a lot of data to use to discover what will help. I just like to think about getting into action and staying in action and learning from the failures along the way. So I'm
Yes.
excited.
Oh, so many questions. So many things I want to jump in. We'll stick to the script here. So keeping yourself motivated. So you have a lot of people coming to you with their dreams and their motivations. So how do you keep yourself motivated and inspired?
Well, that fear of regret is definitely something that has become a real driver for me. The purpose fuel is definitely there because I have been vocal with my children about what I'm doing, and they see me. And I know that they see me in the hard times and in the good times. And I know my business is not where I in my vision where it would have been by now. And I know, even though I've not said anything, if you have children, they notice. They make stories and meaning around what they're witnessing. And so for me, my main purpose is to be an example for my children of what's possible, of going for your dreams and not giving up even when it's really, really hard. And that is my purpose.
That's awesome. Aw, that's so sweet.
Yeah, it made me cry, but yeah.
Well, as you're staying motivated, and we all have to really dig deep sometimes to keep our own, we're our own biggest cheerleader, and we need to be our own biggest cheerleader some days. So, as you're growing your business, what are the successful ways you've learned to market your business?
That is an evolving process because as a consultant in corporate and then having my own consulting company, the marketing is very different. I mean, first of all, when you're employed, you're not really marketing. You're marketing yourself to a certain extent, unless you're in the marketing department. You're not, you don't have a lot of that skill set. And in consulting, I really didn't either because I built my business on relationships. So I was very lazy in my marketing until I started this business. And so I've tried a lot of different things, and I realized a lot of the things I tried, I was trying to skip a part. I was trying to get to a certain part, but I wasn't paying my dues. And now I realized that it's getting back to the basics. So it is relationships, it is calling, it is doing reach outs to my network. But I wanted to skip that step for so I realized it was because I wasn't all the way in my identity of what I was doing, and I had resistance to making phone calls from people in my corporate life to tell them what I'm doing now. And so when I look back, it's like, okay, I wasn't fully in my identity and I had resistance, and it slowed me way, way down. So probably the biggest lesson I've learned, and the one that I'm so motivated to share with women who want to start a business or grow a business, is that when you feel that resistance, when you feel that, like, I don't want to do that, I want to do that, and then you look for an out, that resistance is the lesson. And if you bypass it, like for me, instead of making phone calls, I did Facebook ads. That didn't really work, you're going to come back to whatever that lesson is. It's going to keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back. For me, it was, I didn't want to go out in the world and say what I was doing. I didn't want to say it on Facebook. I didn't want to go to networking. I didn't want to make phone calls. I didn't want to post it on LinkedIn. Like, I wanted to be this coach and speaker, but I didn't actually want to tell anybody. So for me, just realizing that the biggest marketing and sales skill that you need is to first sell yourself on you and your dream. And the whole process of saying out loud to another person what you are doing, what you are creating, it starts to make it more real. And the more that you avoid that, and I'm speaking from deep experience on this. It's just the longer it's going to take. Because when I first started my business, I joined a business coaching program, and the first she was all about organic marketing. Which, back to your question about marketing, I'm 100% that you have to start with organic marketing. You can't just jump into Facebook ads or any kind of like advertising because you don't know your message yet. You don't have your product dialed in, and it's just you got it. There's steps that you have to go through. You can go through them really fast, but you have to go through them. And so for me, that was the biggest lesson, is like that first coaching group, the first thing she said was she was focused on organic marketing. And the first lesson in the first module of the training was to do something on Facebook. And I literally remember shutting my laptop down. I'm like, nope, there's got to be another way. Looking back now, I realize I hired her. I joined her program. She was successful at this. I invested in her program. And the very first thing she told me to do, I didn't do it. And I walked away from the program. Until many years later, I went back. I'm like, okay, let me learn about this organic marketing.
Yes. Well, there are so many things here. So, first of all, it's scary starting at zero. Everybody wants to start at the, 30,000 people in the stadium, type of it. You start at zero, and there's a
Everybody, and that, I think that's the thing, is that everyone starts at zero. And honestly, that's been one of the lessons that has been a very humbling experience. And I think for a lot of women, especially if you're coming from corporate or some kind of other business where we've had a lot of success and we've had a lot of accolades and achievements, for me, and I've seen this in some other people as well, there's a certain I don't want to say hubris, but there's a certain level of confidence that well, we've already been successful here. Of course, we're going to be successful here. And I think for me, yes, I always had confidence that I'd be successful, but it kind of was bypassing like learning the fundamentals because I'm like, well, I've already been successful here. Let me just, I don't need to do that part. It's again, it's like skipping these steps. And I think that's something that can hold us back too, that it's the concept of the beginner's mind, which is also something that I've really adopted and it's really helped me. Like no matter how many times you've heard something or every webinar or talk or training, I just think I'm going to go in here with an open mind and I'm going to learn instead of assuming that I already know it or assuming I should be further ahead, because the truth is we all are where we are. And if we know something intellectually and our results don't show it, then we haven't embodied the lesson or the work. So it has been a very humbling experience to think I should be further along than I am. And now bumping up against all of that resistance and really mining for the failure gold. And that's what I want to help my clients with this data analysis that I'm doing, like trying to bucket all these different scenarios that come up. But I think that's part of it is that all the marketing, this is what you do for a living. There's so many ways that you can market, but your first client, your first customer, your first marketing has to be on you.
So back to your not wanting to make phone calls. Here's a new perspective that the people that you have helped and that have really benefited from your guidance, you and all the success they had from it, the person at the other end of that phone deserves the opportunity. So by not calling them, you are not allowing them to have the opportunity of success that someone else had. So, like,
Yes, that just gave me goosebumps.
you need to be picking up that phone because everybody needs a chance and an opportunity to be successful in the way that you can help them. And by not calling, you know what I mean? You're keeping it from them. So, when I had sales teams and we were doing a lot of things, the same, no one wants to pick up a phone. Nobody. But that's why you go back to your why and the people that you've helped. And then don't discredit people. Don't not pick up the phone and share this with people. Pick up the phone and give them the opportunity. So that's just a little tip of me.
Yes. And the more that if you start calling, which eventually I did, and it has been a very successful part of my business, people want to help, especially people that have known you in some capacity. So one of the things that's been helpful is to just call, connect, hey, what are you doing? Just call with a giver's mindset and just really genuinely connect. How are you? What are you up to? And just really focus on giving. And then, of course, there's a law of reciprocity. They're going to ask you, what are you doing? And so just going with that giver's mindset and not expecting anything or needing anything is so freeing because then you're just like calling a friend and saying, hey, what are you up to? It can be actually fun. And the other thing that's really helped is that you're not calling to get something or even to get a client or speak for me, a speaking gig. You're just calling to, like, for me, the main intention besides connection and serving, like, how can I help you? What's happening? And I found that I love being a connector. Like, they need something. Oh, I know this person over here. And that's been fun for me. So that's another way to pick up the call to see what they might need that you can help with, not in your business, but just through your community or your network. And then the other thing is when they ask, you can not asking to them to buy from you. It's asking for a referral or a connection. And that also frees up the grip of like calling to make a sale. We're just calling to be of service. And it has been very freeing to do that.
Yes, I love that. So, and there's a lot of ways, and we'll go off marketing, but there's a lot of ways to waste money. So you really do have to find what works for you. And unfortunately, you got to get there. You start at zero and you grow and you do things. So, books, beauty, and business, we have to ask you, what is a book that you would say is a must read? If you met somebody, you have to read this book.
I've gone through phases of what book that is. So it's really hard to pick one. But probably the one that has been the one I've recommended the most is the Four Agreements.
I was just thinking that whenever I asked you that question, for some reason that popped in my head. That's so funny. One of my favorites.
Yeah, so I pulled a couple of my, well, I can't pull them all, but like my top five, but this is the top one that I give all my clients. Actually, I missed a couple and I need to go back and give them this one, but I read this when it first came out in the 90s. I was like in my early 20s, I think. I saw Ellen DeGeneres on the Oprah show, and Ellen introduced Oprah to this book. And I read at that point, I was reading anything that Oprah recommended. So I went out and bought that book, read it in one. It's not a real long book. Read it in one sitting, and I had this moment of like how my life changed after reading a sentence in a book. It's happened to me a couple of times, but in the Four Agreements, can I just say the Four Agreements real quick? Because they're really short. Where did it go? Okay, you can get the book, but here's the Four Agreements. Number one, be impeccable with your word. Number two, this is the one that blew my mind. Don't take anything personally. When I read that, I was like, what? Don't take anything personally. It was the first time I had the idea that what other people told me or what other people thought about me, that I didn't have to believe it, that I didn't have to take it. Up until I read that in this book, I did not know that. I did not know that. I'm still, 30 years later, still leaning into that, but to not take anything
It's very
personally
hard
is,
to do. And to don't make assumptions, right? It goes
don't
hand
make
in hand.
assumptions. Don't make assumptions and always do your best. And those four, and I kind of alternate between like which one I'm in. Like the don't take it personally. I mean, it still comes up every once in a while, but I'm pretty good with that one. But be impeccable with your word is one that's been a challenge for me. That's the one I'm leaning into about self-integrity, doing what I say for other people, but not necessarily honoring my word to myself. So that's for me what I'm really leaning into. So one of the things I do just as like a coaching, I don't know, what I do for me, which is part of what my coaching curriculum is all about, being identity, who you're being as you're working. And so I write three things on a card that I stick on here until I feel I've got them, and then I'll pick three more. So the ones I'm working on right now is I'm responsible, I am authentic, I am self-integral. Because when I think about all the ways of being in my life and my business, and I did a coaching thing on myself about all the where I'm lacking, where I'm not fully showing up. And it came down to these three. So if I'm 100% responsible, if I'm 100% authentic, and if I'm 100% in integrity with myself, I will succeed. So that's what I learned. That's what I learned from the Four Agreements. So out of all the books that I recommend, I would say this one is the, classic. But I mean, I have so many, but this is the one that I'm really recommending for business. And I can't. I've read this one so many times that like the whole thing is like the whole thing's like underlined. It's actually come out of his cover. So this is called U Squared, and this is about, it's from Price Pritchett. He's a PhD psychologist. He's an organizational psychologist. He has a site consulting company. He does change management for big, global companies. And this is called U Squared, a high velocity formula for multiplying your personal effectiveness in quantum leaps. And what he's saying is that U Squared is that it doesn't have to be incremental progress. You can leapfrog. He talks about you can take a quantum leap by squaring yourself, which is basically by, developing yourself to your full potential, but you can do it. You can collapse time and do it very quickly. So that's the book that I'm like, that's my reference manual right now for life.
That's awesome. I am definitely going to check that one out.
This one I definitely give to everyone, because I've just kind of, I mean, they should pay me for I order so many of them.
That is awesome. I like
Yeah.
that. My mind went to straight to technology, so that's so funny. I was like, oh, we need to build you an avatar. Okay, so thank you so much for the book recommendations.
Welcome.
What is your favorite beauty tip?
Oh my gosh. So I will say that about 3 years ago, I decided to make beauty a pillar of my goal setting. It'd never been part of like my annual reviews or my annual goal setting. It had never been something to consider as part of like what was important to me. And about 3 years ago, I decided to just put some goals around beauty as I'm aging and, you know, my face is changing and my body's changing. And, you know, you start to get, I've always been very critical of myself, of my appearance, of my body. And that's been a lesson that keeps coming back and coming back. And for me, 3 years ago, I'm like, okay, we need to just get to the bottom of this. What's going on? Because you've got to really start looking in the mirror and seeing yourself for yourself. And really, you know, loving myself and not being so critical. So, anyways, I decided to have beauty goals. So I focused on like my hair. I was starting to have like the bald patches. So I did a lot of research on what I needed to do to increase my hair growth. So that was a beauty goal, and I went and did a lot of research on that. And so I found out you can do put Rogaine to grow your hair. You can take vitamins and stuff. So after 3 years, my hair is definitely growing. Another goal that I had was to improve my skin. I just felt like as I was aging, my skin was just looking kind of dull and just not as vibrant. And so I did a lot of research on, you know, what happens to our skin as we age. And I found this amazing influencer on TikTok, and she has a whole regime that she recommends. And I just started following her and little by little, you know, incorporating the things. And so the number one thing for hair is that you have to do something if you want your hair to not keep losing, if you have that kind of hair. For your skin, as we age, we have to exfoliate because our cells don't turn over as much. And you would be amazed how much youth is underneath all the dead cells on the surface of your face. So exfoliating is probably has been the biggest game changer for my face.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. We're going to all go out and exfoliate this evening because you are glowing. So I see that. That's awesome.
It is a game changer.
I believe it. I'm a big, I believe it. I believe you. So, as we're wrapping up now, do you have any like just daily tips? Like, you know, James Clear and Atomic Habits said just one tiny adjustment a day just has such a great projection on your life. You just like get some good habits, get some good tips for the daily tips. It can have such a profound impact. So, do you have any daily like tips that you would give the ladies?
Well, I will say one of the things that I've really learned and something that I share with my clients, and I believe so deeply in the power of habits. One of my mentors, I guess it's been like 5 years ago, he said this other life-changing thing that I heard, and he said, "You don't get your goals, you get your habits." And so to you focus on your habits and the goals will take care of themselves. I don't believe that completely. I still think, you know, but the premise is that if you're not getting your goals, if you're not meeting your numbers, you can look back at your habits. And so for me, looking at what habits have the biggest impact limiting my success. So for me, what's been really powerful is to focus more on the negative habits more than the positive habits, especially to start if you're like starting into building habits. I mean, they're both important, but I did this 5 years ago. I made a list of all the negative habits, all the ones that I had. And I put them in order of the one that was impacting my life the most in all areas. So if you look at your life and you look at your habits and you think, what is the number one habit that's having the most negative impact in my life? And just get that one dialed in. Stop what you need to stop, start what you need to start, but just dial that in and then go to the next one. I think that's a much more powerful approach than, standing on your left foot and flossing your teeth. I mean, all of those things are important, all those little habits, but I believe in tackling the big one.
That's great advice. I mean, we just got done doing a 100-day challenge with our church group, and one of the things was fasting something that was taking you away from your spiritual life. And like everybody had something different, but it was like I sit on my computer and I scroll way like for hours where I could be in doing much better things with my time, right? So I love the fact that you focus on what are you doing today that's not helping you out that you can start changing. I had a teacher
And the
recently.
other thing is,
Go
oh,
ahead.
sorry to interrupt.
No,
The other
go ahead.
thing is, in my vision, where it all worked out and I'm living the life of my dreams, having the business of my dreams, would I be doing this? And if the answer is no, the faster you stop, the faster you will create
Yeah,
whatever it is that you want to
that
create.
best version of yourself, right? What's she doing? Would she
What'd
be
she do? Well, she's not doing that.
doing? That's right. What I was gonna say was that I had a teacher recently talk about affirmations, and he's like, everyone's doing them wrong. Everyone, you make this dream board, and there's nothing wrong with you can't see, I have a bunch of vision boards behind me, right? I love them. But he's like, the goal is great, but your affirmation should be the action to get there. I want peace. Well, my affirmation is I will meditate more each day. Like I will, there's an affirmation for each. There's an action. And so I know you're action driven. So I think that's such great advice. I think that focusing on the things that you're probably doing today that aren't benefiting you is a great place to actually get started.
And there's big ones like, there's big ones, that are big, have a big impact, like, drinking or, things that are really where you're over consuming in some way. But there's also little things, but are pervasive, like not finishing things. Like when you have a habit of not finishing things, that's everywhere in your life. So for me, that was another one because my mind goes so fast and I'm a big thinker and a visionary, and sometimes the little things get left undone. So as far as like a micro habit, one of the things that I do is like if I have something in my hand, or I just make sure that I take it wherever wherever it's supposed to be, instead of like somehow losing it along the way from bedroom to office or something. So that's like a little thing. Or if I think about something and I'm gonna, oh, I'll do it later. I literally this morning on the way to the gym, I thought I've been wanting to give my trainer something. I was halfway out the driveway. It's a 5 a.m. class. So it's 4:45 a.m. I'm halfway through the driveway and I was gonna give her this, and I started driving. I'm like, no, I'm going to stop. I'm going to get out. I'm going to go in the house and I'm going to get that and bring it back. And it's those tiny little things that close loops in your mind that free up cognitive bandwidth. So that's the other like tiny tactical thing, that's just like closing those open loops, completing things.
If you think about it, do it.
It.
If you think about it, do it. I should take the trash out. Do it. The
Yep.
after the
This is the little one that I've been working on. Yes, taking the
That's a
trash out. Yes, all those
great
little
idea.
things.
Or even like when you're something hits you, like I should really call that person. I always think those are God touches. Like call them right now.
I
Or
do
I should
too.
really do that. And a really good one is, when somebody needs prayer and something, and they're like, and you're like, oh, I'll pray for you. People throw that around. I learned you immediately, God doesn't care, you immediately say that prayer. Like you immediately do that thing. I just think that if you think about it, you do it. So I've picked that practice up too.
You
So.
know, it's funny when you say about prayers, because I see a lot, on social media, my prayer warriors do this, and often, and I just don't, I'll like it, but I won't, because I do that too. If I say I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to stop right now in my tracks and I'm going to go into a prayer and a meditation and sending energy. And I'm just not willing to do that for everyone that asks for prayers.
Well, if you say you're gonna do it, then you'll do it. Yeah, you saved that. I totally get it. Well, it has been such a pleasure, Deidre, to have you on today. Thank you
Thank
so much
you.
for spending time with us. And we will put all of your information below. So if you guys are interested in learning more about the Dream Academy, follow her on her Instagram, her Facebook, all her things, or have questions, please feel free to subscribe and look at all the details below. Thank
Yes.
you so much. And I will see you next time.
Yes. Thank you, Tani. And thanks for all you do with your podcast and all your service in the world to help all of us.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.